Welcome everyone to our Christ blessing on the 26th day of March. As all days of blessing are, this is a most special one and a most sacred one. We have just passed the equinox. We are into the season of spring and new life. And I would like to dedicate our blessing today to the new life and the new spirit of life we all can be feeling in our life, no matter what our age, no matter what we're doing or what our projects happen to be or our needs happen to be. We can all benefit from new cycles of life. And enjoy the baby birds being born outside and even the weeds coming up, which are growing like crazy down here. It's all part of life. It's all part of the miraculous cycle of God's beautiful, beautiful creation. Well, as always, we have a we like to open our community to some interaction and warm up our classroom, which extends literally around the world. So I should actually include our listeners in the Southern Hemisphere and congratulate you on your new autumnal season and the beauties it can bring. So we all are part of the grace and the glory of God, and whatever needs to come forth in this new season. Anthony, I see you're on the phone. I'm going to open your line.
Oh. Hi. Hello there, Glenda. Yeah, I just wanted to say thanks and just to express my gratitude and joy at being connected and being here today, and that's it.
You are most welcome, and thank you for being here today, as I want to extend to everyone a really big, warm hug and thank you. Let's just take a minute to imagine hugging each other, giving each other a warm, spiritual, brotherly, sisterly hug. And imagine our arms extending through one another around the world so that we give our planet a great big hug right now. Let's just take a moment and imagine that happening. Feels good to me. And we have a wireless caller. You're on area code 903.
Yes, Glenda, it's Ben, and I've got my recorded music going on in the background quietly.
Oh, good. Thank you so much for being here, Ben. We just love your energy, and we love what you bring to us musically and your lovely connection with the angels.
And I'm looking at the Lamb and the Lion in front of me, the canvas transfer that I got from you so many years ago.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Good. It's always new, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I've shared it with many people who come by when my door is open in an apartment that I'm in.
That's great. Thank you so much for all your love and your spiritual connections. Because you are certainly a live wire to be connected. I appreciate all of you for being here and providing the connections that you do. Pardon me. I just had a very powerful protein drink before I came online and still enjoying it. Thank you, God, for that. And we have another wireless caller on. And hello.
Hi.
Ben, maybe that was you coming on twice. I think perhaps it was. Okay. Well, I will just proceed and offer my gratitude to everyone. And the line is still open. Anyone who wants to ask for a blessing, please check in by pressing star 6, follow the prompt and press 1, and you'll be brought into the queue, and I'll open your line. And while you're all thinking about asking for a blessing for yourself or for someone else, I will just share some of the blessings I have had this week. I had a tremendous opportunity to relive and go back over the so many of the messages that Yeshua has brought me through the years as I get ready, as I'm preparing and getting all of us ready for our new webinar, The Power of Understanding. And I've come to a grand conclusion that that's all there really is understanding. Everything else is just experience, perception, and information. You know, we go through life, we gain information from our experiences or what we study in books or what we acquire in the way of information from other people. We form our perceptions about it. And from our perceptions, then we have our feelings. But at the moment that we actually gain understanding, I have noticed something, and that's that we actually gain a kind of eternal ownership of that information. It becomes ours. It becomes a mark upon our character. It becomes a mark upon our talent, our ability to be a presence in the world. I remember so well, but I had forgotten. But it's all coming back to me now, what it was like being a teacher in the university. I would prepare sometimes a week ahead of time for every class, by reading up on the information for the class, and I would try to memorize it. I would practice reciting it back and forth to myself in the mirror. And then I would panic almost every time the day before because I would realize that I didn't know it well enough. It wasn't coming from the core of my being. It wasn't something I owned. I was reciting what I learned from other people. And I was asking my students then to recite back on an exam what they would learn from me. And I thought, that's not learning. And I decided one day, it wasn't too far into my teaching experience, I just made a deep decision that I was going to have this approach toward teaching. I would prepare the best I could from the acquisition of information. I would prepare the best I could from spending time reviewing it, forming my own feelings and perceptions about it. I would prepare the best I could applying that knowledge. And then I would take a chance, a really big chance, the night before. I would forget about everything. And I would go in front of my class, having forgotten about everything. The only thing I would have that I would take in with me was a notebook with my notes in it that I would put in the lectern. The lectern always had one or two shelves in it, and I would set my notes in there just in case I froze, because I had to be there doing something. I really, really didn't like teachers that just stood there at the lectern and read from their notes, and I didn't want to be one of those. But if I had to be, it's better than doing nothing. So I tucked my notes in under the lectern, and I would just stand in front of the class, and I would warm up the room, just like I'm doing right now, and I would ask the students about what they had really, really learned from the week before. And I'd make sure they really learned it. We go back and forth on what constituted real learning versus just memorizing facts or being able to answer questions on an exam. Like, what did you get out of it that actually could make your life better? Or did you get anything out of it? And most of them would kind of shrug their shoulders and say, well, I don't know, you know. What art history, I mean, how is it going to make our life any better? And we'd actually take up that subject. We'd take up that subject, and by the time we had thoroughly combed the tangles out of that subject, I had students raising their hand and saying, you know, that reminds me of something I saw in a magazine that my parents were redecorating their home, and something it said in there, and now I know what they were talking about. I know where that came from. Somebody else would raise their hand and say, you know, I remember now someone telling me that I was going to be a Renaissance man, and I didn't know what that meant. I thought they meant I was going to be wear fancy clothes and long hair. And I they said, now I know what you mean by it. And somebody, you know, in other words, we would bring this into their life, and they were owning the information. Well, what they did for me what I was doing for them, because what they were helping me gather and sort out was the feeling of people in the room. How were they feeling about this subject? So then it would remind me of what I was studying the night before I decided to forget it all and let it come back to me in a natural way. And it all started coming back to me in the most natural way, from the inside out. It was like I started teaching them what it was like for me to study this information and be a teacher. What it was like for me to study this from the inside out. Now, that's what I began practicing as I would go out to the world and teach what Yeshua had brought to me in his original message while I painted the Lamb and the Lion. I took a lot of notes, and it was a little bit hard to do, to paint and write at the same time. Sometimes I would write on my paint palette. Sometimes I would write on my blue jeans. Sometimes I would just lay the palette down and pick up a notebook. But for the most part, I took moments to think about what he was saying. And I would think about what he said in relation to what I was doing. And I noticed also, when he would tell me things, he would tie that in with what I was doing so that I would understand it. For example, when he talked about innocent perception, he would say for a minute, he said, now go put your paintbrush down and go look out the window. And I said, okay. And he said, now come back and tell me what you saw. And we went through that exercise because obviously the first time I saw everything, but I didn't think I did. And that's an interesting thing to realize. That he sent me to the window to look out the window. I came back, he asked me what I saw, and I told him, well, I saw a house across the way, and I saw a tree, and I saw the hedges, and I saw the sky, and he said, is that all you saw? And I thought, well, no. I realized that I was looking at a memory. I had looked out the window maybe 20 times, and by this time, I had a memory of what was out the window. In other words, the many times I'd looked out the window, there was a hedge and a house and a tree and sky. And so I had it all memorized. What I didn't see when I looked out the window this time is there was a little lizard on the windowsill. There was dust on the window because it had rained the night before. There were leaves scattered in a different pattern. No, the fact is I really hadn't looked out the window. I really hadn't. He asked me to do that. I came back and said I did. But I didn't. I had just cast my eyes out the window and replicated a similar perception to everything I'd seen before. But I hadn't seen what was really there. So I want to ask you, how many times has someone said something to you and you thought you heard it, and then based on what they say to you next and what they expected you to understand, you didn't listen at all? You really didn't hear what they said. Same thing. Until we're actually in the present moment, we don't listen. And until we listen, we can't possibly understand. But what I have found is that the power of understanding brings us into focus with the moment. Because if we truly intend to understand, let's just say we're like a scientist, except we're not in a laboratory, and we're not weighing and measuring things, and we're not looking at particles under a microscope. We're not being mathematical. So in that sense, we're not scientists, but we're like a scientist in that we know it's irrelevant to anything unless we wind up understanding it. We've literally wasted our time. How many years of your life have you wasted because you went through and understood nothing? How young would you be? How many years would you erase from your life all of a sudden if you regained those years with understanding? Just think about it. So many people tell me, Glenda, you don't even come close to looking your age. And I said, well, you know, this is my age, but the thing is, most people are prematurely aging. And you're just going by that. And the reason most people are prematurely aging is because they're just wearing rubber out on the road, not really getting the benefit of the life they're living. And that benefit comes through understanding. There is no fountain of youth like understanding. There is nothing that will youthen you and brighten you and bring you more into a desire and joy of life than to understand. Even understanding the bad things, because then you can let go of them. How great would that be? Really, honestly, how great would that be if you could just finally let go of the things that have worried you, the things you've fretted over, the things you've judged, the things you've feared, because now you understand it. And you say, okay, well, I got that. I can go on to something else. And that's the point. That's the point. You see, you were created a child of God, a son, a daughter, an immortal soul, who is a fragment of the God soul, sent out to live life and to gain understanding. That's your mission. And there's nothing like mission accomplished. To brighten your life, reset the computer, reset the start button, get us moving down a new road with greater freshness and greater vitality, simply than understanding. And that's the power of understanding. So many people ask me, how could you possibly, Glenda, have remembered everything he said to you? For heaven's sake, the book is over 400 pages long. And then you wrote a second book. How could you do that? And I said, well, first of all, I did have a stack of notes two stacks of notes, and they were both about a foot tall. So I did have those. I sorted them into 12 piles of similar information. So I was able to I went through and put everything he told me that was more scientifically oriented, more love-oriented, more about the universe, more about the spirit. So I had those kinds of piles of notes that were organized. But, of course, they were notes, and they weren't all put together. But when I started reading them, what they did is they activated the understanding that I acquired at the time I took the notes. And the understanding then finished out the notes. And what I didn't understand was then a basis for asking him, do you know, just for a moment, how profitable your prayers would be if you could make all of your prayers about understanding? Oh, Lord, what do I need to understand about this condition I would like to fix? Oh, Lord, what do I need to understand about finding this wonderful partner I'm looking for? Oh, Lord, what do I need to understand to make this house into the beautiful sanctuary I want it to be? Oh, Lord, what do I need to understand about gardening to refurbish everything in my backyard and make it the wonderland I want it to be? What do I need to understand that keeps me from getting along at work? What do I need to help others understand about me so that they respect and appreciate my work more? Do you know how profitable your prayers would be if they were all about understanding? See, that's all I had to ask Yeshua, because A, I had focused on understanding when I took the notes. So when I looked through the notes, it rekindled understanding. It didn't give me everything I needed to understand, but it gave me the platform I needed to acquire further understanding. And then he filled in the blanks, and it was all done. This is what every great scientist has known that allowed him to move beyond the previous paradigm. You see, what we've, and not just science, but in the world of political science and social management, we've got the same situation going on. But let's just look at the way Albert Einstein approached getting beyond the paradigm of Isaac Newton. You see, Isaac Newton had just about figured out everything from the level of that paradigm of understanding that was the paradigm of understanding that was really brought forth in the 17th century and then developed into the 18th century. And carried us into the Industrial Revolution of the 19th century. And Albert Einstein looked at it, and I mean, everything to that point inside that paradigm of understanding, that paradigm of reality, or shall we say scientific explanation or engineering explanation, it had all been done. There wasn't any, I mean, he was going in circles. He could not solve, he could not have a breakthrough mathematically. He could not have a breakthrough logically because it had all been figured out from the paradigm of that information level, that reality level. It was all explained. Okay. Now that's what we're looking at in the world today in so many areas. It's all been explained. But we can't stop here. We've got to have a better world. We've got to have a better playing field. We've got to have answers we never had before. So how do we get that? Okay. Well, here's what Einstein did. is he pretty much did what I did as a teacher. He put aside all of his calculations, and he was just clearing his mind, riding on a train one day, and looked out the window. And he got a perception of light and intervals of light being intersected by the poles, the poles that were outside the window as the car went by. And they were changing as the train went faster and faster and faster. The light became a blur. And he began to realize there's a speed to light. And that took him into another realm of understanding. And then from understanding, he created a new reality. You see, reality is not the master subject. Understanding is the master subject. We have to gain new understandings in order to re-describe reality. Reality is subject to description, subject to function, subject to management, subject to allocation, to distribution, and so forth. Understanding is that place where all of creation is perceived and managed and viewed and then explored from the inside out. It's like that miraculous moment when you got it. You got it. So this is a subject that we all need to take up right now and understand. So it's not about learning how to understand math better or understand nature better or understand your spouse better or understand any particular subject. It's more about understanding the power of understanding and why it underwrites all reality and rewrites all reality. As we gain better understanding, we fly beneath the prison of reality, almost like we tunnel under. If you want to compare it to prisoners in a cellmates in a prison camp tunneling out. Sometimes I feel like we're all prisoners of a reality that's got us locked in, and it just doesn't work well enough. And we pray, and we figure, and we give our love, and we give our energy to it, and it still doesn't change anything. It's like Albert Einstein trying to change the world through just redistributing the calculations of Isaac Newton. And so we could say we either fly above it or we tunnel beneath it, whichever metaphor fits your personality the best. But either way, it's without asking permission from reality. We don't ask permission from reality to gain understanding. We gain understanding by permission from God, because we have been created in the image of God, and knowing how to gain understanding in any given situation is your ultimate power in life. That is ethical, creative, free, significant, important, and joyful. And it gets results, because it gets you down the road. And it gets you down the road without just wearing rubber off your tires. It gets you down the road because your life is being consumed and applied towards something that is amazingly progressive And when I say progressive, I'm not talking politically there. I'm talking about creatively. It's amazingly progressive creatively in the sense that you're building progress in your life. You're building progress for others. You're building progress in everything you do. And I know that's what we all want. And we have come today to ask for a blessing. And in asking for that blessing, we ask for great understanding, and we ask for the miracle of understanding whatever we need to acquire, or we need to do, or we need to give, or we need to share, or we need to receive, or we need to discover, or adapt. But understanding of our life, understanding of others, and how to gain their understanding of us. It's an amazing world when it's run by understanding. I would highly encourage you to take a look at all the information we have online about our webinar on understanding that will begin next Sunday. And you'll receive another one or two announcements in the mail. So if you haven't already checked it out, you'll have another chance. It could be one of the most important single webinars you ever take in your life. But for now, let's turn our attention toward the blessing. Let's just be here with God, the grace of our Creator, the love of Christ, and the amazing power of eternal energy, salvation, and enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. If you will be seated, arms and legs uncrossed, allow your attention to fall into your heart. And just be there in your heart. Be the love that you are. And be prepared to receive. And if you pray only for understanding, that will be enough. I will offer a prayer to Yeshua. And then the blessing givers and I will join to offer the energy of the Holy Spirit to you. Dear Yeshua, we are so grateful that you are here with us always, reminding us of who we are, that we too are children of God, that we too have been given the power to understand and the power to gain more and more understanding on this earth, that we expand the creation of our Holy Father. We ask that you be with us in our time of need, our time of healing, our search for discovery, that you heal our relationships, that you comfort us when we feel lost or alone, and remind us that all we have to do is pray, and we are one with our Father. We ask for all of these things to be given now through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we stand with you in your most gracious love, now and forever. Amen. Your blessing has been given. It is now complete energetically, but you need to complete it by receiving. So you need to go and rest and be very quiet and not think. Just receive for at least 7 minutes. God loves you and will be with you always. I love you, and I look forward to being with you again next Sunday. Bye-bye for now.